Good evening, everyone. I call the June 17th, 2024 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser? Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis? Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman McElroy, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Good evening again, everyone. We are now under general communications. This is the announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Do any members of the council have anything under general communications? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to executive communications. There are none. Next up on the agenda is public comment. There is a sign-up sheet here. We're going to do the last call for sign-up for the public comments. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topic for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all the speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. Anybody else want to sign up? Last call. Okay, we have two individuals this evening. The first speaker is Rob C.
Good evening. I have some comments based on public records and recent media articles. First, today marks 11 months since Defendant Travis violated my constitutional rights. There's been no apology or remorse from Defendant Travis on her behavior, and in fact, she's attempted to comport herself as the victim. 6 months ago, I requested that this council docket a discussion to implement rules of admonishment and removal of any council member that violates any resident's constitutional rights. Since no member has since docketed this discussion, I can only assume that this council has aligned itself with Defendant Travis's idea that violating a person's civil rights is acceptable. I read in the Warwick Beacon that Defendant Travis will not be seeking re-election. She states that false allegations and political agitation, quote, have dictated her decision. But when you go to the courthouse and actually read all the documents of the complaints made against defendant Travis and her spouse over the last few years, one would have to wonder if the numerous lawsuits that she and her spouse have been named as defendants has anything to do with her not seeking re-election. There seems to be a pattern of behavior, and I'll discuss the particulars of these cases in detail in the coming months. Councilman McAllister has also announced he will not be seeking re-election. He first announces that he may run for mayor. He has Speaker Sakachi hold a couple of fundraisers for him. He raises a bunch of money and then decides not to run for any office, which in my opinion is a good thing for Warwick. But I wonder if Mr. McAllister feels that he has a moral obligation to return the money that he collected. After all, it's kind of like accepting money under false pretenses. Councilman McElroy from Ward 4 also will not be seeking re-election to the city council. Another good thing for Warwick, in my opinion. However, he has announced that he will run for state rep for District 21. Now, here's a guy that in 6 years on the city council never uttered one question about any expenditure, never spoke one sentence during six budget hearings, and is well known for never returning calls from constituents, and clearly is not acting on behalf of the people he has elected to represent, only on behalf of the special interests, namely the unions. That's just what we need at the State House, another rubber stamp. I mean, I cringe when I see failed politicians seeking higher office. Speaking of rubber stamps, we've also been informed that Mr. Howe will no longer seek re-election to the council. Another plus for Warwick residents. Rumor has it that he will seek Senate office, but that's just rumor. That's a disaster in the making. Another failed politician seeking higher office. 4 years as the finance chair, which was an abject failure. I actually lost count on how many bids came before him with cost errors that he never caught. And in 2019, during the fire contract hearing, when he claimed and promised the residents that the contract would save $600,000 in overtime, but the overtime actually increased by $2 million a year. Or when he pushed the OPEB clause, ignoring members of the public, telling them that the language was illegal, yet he voted to pass it only to find out when Peter Schaefer publicly announced, in fact, that the language was illegal. I thought Mr. Howe was a math teacher, but how did he miss the $85.7 million math error on the school's Stage 2 application? Or all of the math errors contained in the $85,000 Ilana third-party review of the school construction costs, even missing the math error on the total square footage of the schools contained in the cover sheet sent to him on the Ilana report. Without objection or questions, he's just rubber-stamped every expenditure, every contract, and every budget that came before him without performing any analysis on the impact to the residents of Warwick. Every decision that he's made was to benefit special interest unions and not the residents of Warwick. When you look at these four council members and ask what do they all have in common other than being ethically and morally bankrupt, they all have an immediate family member that is employed by the city and is a beneficiary of their decisions. That in itself tells you who they are loyal to. Warwick residents should reject and dismiss any candidate that these four council members endorse for Warwick City Council. Their actions and their philosophies have had a serious negative impact on the future fiscal stability of Warwick, and anyone that they endorse to take this seat will surely continue the same poor fiscal behavior and ethical behavior. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker is Richard L.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm Road. I just want to compliment Mr. McAtee on helping me out and understanding various things. You know, sometimes city council people work behind the scenes. They don't always work in public, and we must recognize that. I just don't think that we need to have these kinds of conversations. Regarding the airport, you folks may know that the airport has blocked off Strawberry Field Road and Plainview, Fieldview Avenue and Murray Street and Bunker Street. And of course, the neighbors are really concerned. So some of these folks don't really feel that they can come to city council and bitch and moan about this. But I was driving by there the other day and talking to a young lady. She's 5 years old. And she was in tears because she can't go to her playground anymore because RIAC has closed the facility down. Now the RIAC surveyor is telling everybody that the roads are going to be reopened again once their berm is finished. And I certainly hope that if the city council can work with the mayor on this to get the place open again so that the people can use their streets, it would be much, much appreciated. In the same vein, I've been asking, you know, I asked for information. I asked for information about how the trucks are going to get from the new facility to the airport connector. And I have a letter from RIAC that I got just today suggesting there are over 1,500 emails associated with a curb cut. Now, for me, a curb cut means to move the granite over a little bit, or, you know, make it a foot wider or something like that. They want $200 from me to go through 1,500 emails about this simple curb cut. And this gets to the memorandum of understanding or agreement that the mayor is negotiating with RIAC and the FAA. I think the city council needs to be careful in dealing with RIAC. They just don't show good faith to a lot of us. And we're just not sure that they will be totally honest. I think we need to see the environment assessment done. I think we need to see all the financing, everything laid out before that memorandum is signed. I offer that advice to the city council. One more item on street abandonments. As you know, I spoke in favor of easements. Easements, whenever they can be done, is a really good idea, particularly when it comes to the airport. We really need to understand that it's a public place where the people go. In planning, we're looking for places for people and this and that. And why we would listen to an entity that just wants to close everything down is totally beyond me. Regarding abandonments, you know, the city council has two functions. It has a legislative function and it has a regulatory function. And when you consider street abandonments, what you're doing is you're asking the public for evidence that the streets are no longer used. You're not promoting yourself. The city council should not be sitting here testifying to the fact that the streets are private or the streets are public. The city council should listen to the proponents who make the petition available and get their input on whether the streets are public or private. And then the city council is an adjudicator.
1 minute, Mr. Langseth.
Okay, thanks. And then the city council is an adjudicator. So when you're looking at abandonments, you're not legislating. You're fact finding. And this becomes critically important when we're going to come to the eventual airport one. The one tonight, I think, I may speak in favor of it. The one tonight is great. But if the city is going to petition, I'm sorry, if the city's going to testify as to whether that street is public or private, that's really on the edge. You have to have the lawyer do it. You have to have the people come and do it. And just a word of caution about that. And I appreciate you giving me time to speak tonight. Thank you. And good luck to everybody who's leaving.
Thank you, sir. Next up, I'm going to ask members of the council, I would like to move to the public hearing. Is there any objection to moving this and taking this up at this time? Okay, hearing none. We're now on referred business. Number one, PCO 6-24, an order of abandonment of a portion of Cypress Street. Committee report, land use.
Recommend open public hearing.
Okay, seconded by Councilman Foley. All those in favor to open the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. So how we do a public hearing here at the Warwick City Council is I will ask if there is someone to present this petition to the City Council. They will then make that presentation. Council members will then ask questions. Then I will move to the public, and I will ask three times, is there anyone here to speak in favor of this project? Then I will ask three times, is there anyone here to speak against this project? And then I will also ask three times an opportunity if anyone just like to be heard on this project. So that's how these public hearings go here in the city of Warwick. So at this time, is there someone here to present PCO 6-24? And please just, everyone, we have the stenographer here this evening, so please speak directly in the mic slowly and introduce yourself when you come to the mic. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Council President, members of the council. I am John McCoy, attorney for 115 Maple Street, LLC. I think you summarized this matter well. This is a petition for the ban of the end portion of Cypress Street. As you all have the surveys that were done submitted, it's just a 2,100 square foot portion at the end. There are two abutters. One is 115 Maple Street, LLC. The other one is Benita Flanders. We've spoken to her. She's in full agreement with this. I was working with her attorney, Brian Goldstein, prior to the planning board advisory that we went to. Just want to clarify for everybody's benefit, because it may not show on the survey that was submitted. If this is approved, this will be split right down the middle, half going to my client, the other half going to Ms. Flanders. It will serve two purposes for each of them. One for my client, it will allow him, he's going to build an addition, he'll be able to square off that addition. With the side yard setbacks, it would have been a very unwieldy jog at the end, so it made sense. Ms. Flanders will be benefiting as well, because I believe she's been perhaps parking her car at times in that little piece next to her house. She'll now be able to do so legally and with no problems whatsoever, because she'll have the one half going to her. But that was done. An appraisal was done, was submitted before planning board. The check for that amount has been submitted to the city. City has those funds, the $8,700. So everything else has been taken care of, I believe. You've got the advisory from the planning board. I don't want to take up too much time, but I'm glad to answer any questions anyone have.
Thank you, sir. Councilman Ricks, it's in your ward. Would you like to go first?
Thank you. As the city councilor for Ward 2 and also the chair of the Land Use Committee, this is one of those items that I take particularly seriously to do my due diligence. I would like to apologize to Mr. Nelson and to Ms. Flanders for not being quite as responsive as I usually hold myself to be. I did have my daughter born now 10 weeks ago, and so under more normal circumstances and nowadays, I'm certainly a lot more responsive than I had been at certain points during this process. However, I had spoken briefly with Mr. Nelson early on in this process. I was also happy to speak with Ms. Flanders later on in the process, including visiting the site, taking a little tour of that site with her, and really developing a better understanding of that particular piece of property. It's an interesting situation because her house had been built there and is one of those few houses standing on that side of Route 95. And because of when it was built, way back before Route 95 was built and Route 37, that was also from an era where we didn't have the same setbacks and the like. So her house, the door, is literally feet from this this street, for which there is the proposal to abandon here this evening. And so it was very important for Ms. Flanders to receive assurances of exactly what this change would look like, as she has effectively been using a portion of this paper street owned by the city for use of her driveway, as well as where she stores her garbage receptacles, which I might add are very neatly stored behind a hedge that she herself planted. She has lived at this location for many decades. This piece of property abutting this particular street, of course, has been in her family for many decades, generations. And so after speaking with briefly quite a while ago with Mr. Nelson, and much more recently with Attorney McCoy, and also having met with Ms. Flanders, spending some time there viewing the site and speaking with her attorney, Mr. Goldstein, I think that this is a fantastic compromise It accomplishes the objectives for all parties. It's particularly important because, after all, these are neighbors. We want neighbors to get along. And this process is closely following those processes that the city has traditionally followed and has in its code of ordinances. I'm pleased that the applicant here, the LLC, is paying for this road abandonment, as they are the ones requesting this change to the properties, and that Ms. Flanders does not have to pick up part of the bill for this. I think that this is a fantastic solution for all involved, and I think that it certainly serves the city's interest as well, as the city has no use for this tiny portion of road that is effectively a paper road to nowhere, as the back end of that very paper road actually meets other parcels that are held respectively by 115 Maple Street LLC and by Ms. Flanders. It's a perfect solution. Thank you.
Any other members of the council have any questions at this time? Okay. At this time, are there any members of the public that would like to speak in favor of this project?
My name is Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm Road in Warwick, L-A-N-G-S-E-T-H. I have a question through the chair, if possible. Has the public ceased to use this road? I haven't heard any testimony about whether the road is being used by the public or not.
Attorney? You can use that mic over there, so you have to keep going back and forth if you like. You can, the attorney, if you want to go here, you use that one, so then you don't have to go back and forth in case there's other questions.
Thank you, Mr. President. In answer to that, to my understanding, the only use that has been made recently at all of this little piece was summarized by Mr. Ricks before, by Ms. Flanders parking her car there and neatly storing her garbage cans. Other than that, I'm not aware of any use of that little piece.
Thank you. One other question. It's not clear to me when the LLC is purchasing its half of the street. Apparently, there's some kind of an agreement with the city where the other half is being funded by the LLC, or is the city just waiving the other side?
No, just to summarize again, as part of this process, as the council knows, an appraisal was required and submitted at the planning board level that gave the value of this piece of $8,700. That check was paid for by 115 Maple Street LLC to the city. They already have that. That was initially delivered to the planning clerk.
Thank you very much. I speak in favor of this. This is a really good thing for the elderly people living on the street. We have several situations in the city where there are elderly people that we really want to be able to be protecting and make sure they live out their life in peace and harmony. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this project? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public that would like to be heard on this project at this time? Are any members of the public that would like to be heard about this project? Are there any members of the public that would like to be heard on this project? Okay, hearing none, Councilman Ricks, would you like to make a motion to close the public hearing?
Move to close the public hearing.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, any members of the council have any additional questions at this time? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'll just briefly add and clarify that the appraisal is for the entirety of the public way to be abandoned, and that 115 Maple Street LLC is paying for that entire fee, as would be the city's standard process, as it is the LLC who is the applicant. It is also the standard process that when a road is abandoned, the public road, paper street, if you will, is divided straight down the middle between the two abutting property owners. So I wanted to make sure to clarify that everything here is in strict conformance with the city's standard processes, and that that is the reason why Ms. Flanders is not paying a share, as she was not the applicant. She did not initiate this process. It was something that, it was a change that was desired by the LLC, and I'm pleased that the two neighbors here, the LLC and Ms. Flanders, have been able to agree that really this is something, a change that is in both of their best interests. And similarly, to reiterate briefly, I think that this is also in the city's best interest, as the city is receiving that sum of money for a piece of road that, excuse me, not even a road, because the city had never paved it, but rather a piece of city property, part of a paper street that the city nor the public, aside from Ms. Flanders personally, had any use for, and have no reason to keep this piece of property on the city books. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions or comments? Councilman Ricks, do you have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilwoman Travis. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lazza?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Nine yes, first passage.
Thank you. First passage. At this time, I'm going to ask that we pause the full council meeting. We still have some committees that have work to do. So we should go back into the finance committee as they're still completing their work at this time. So the full council meeting will be paused, and we'll go back into the finance committee meeting at this time. Thank you.
The time is now 7:34, and the Warwick Finance Committee is back in order. Picking off where we left off, I'm going to call for bid 2024-370, Firefighting Vessel Maintenance and Repairs. This was requested by Councilman Lattiser. I'm going to ask the chief identify, then Councilman Lattiser, you have the floor.
Assistant Chief from the Fire Department.
Chairman, I'm all set on that one.
Councilman, you said you're all set?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Are there any questions for members of this committee? Any questions for members of the council? Are there any questions for members of the public? Thank you, Chief. Well done.
Thank you.
Next will be item number 9. This is found on page 28. It is 2023-171, testing and repair for self-contained breathing apparatuses. Chief, identify, then Councilman Lattiser, you have the floor.
Assistant Chief Jason Umbenhauer from the Fire Department.
Thank you. Chief, this increase that you're looking for in the amount of $15,000, is this to pay any past due bills that we have?
It is not. We have no past due bills. We're just the spending authority right now is down to $270. So we're holding off on any repairs until we can get further spending authority.
And what did you spend on these repairs last year?
Well, this fiscal year so far, we've spent $21,351. And in fiscal year 23, at least the portion that this bid covers, we spent $18,378.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chairman. I'm all set on that one.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions for members of this committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you, Chief. Next will be bid 2025-057. That is item number 15, found on page 67. Marine boat diesel fuel. This is requested by Councilman Lattiser. Chief, please identify. Councilman, you'll have the floor.
Assistant Chief Jason Umbenhauer from the Fire Department.
I'm all set on that one as well, Chairman. Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Councilman. Questions, comments from members of the committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Well done, Chief. Thank you. Next will be the request from Councilman Sinapi. This is bid 2025-044. May I have a PCR number, please? 6324. This is a request from Councilman Sinapi to abstain. Other questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? May I have a motion on PCR 63-24?
Move favorable action.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. The final item is bid 2024-451, maintenance accessories for the ice rink. Good evening, Christy. Councilman, once Christy identifies, you'll have the floor. Director?
Christy Moretti, Public Works.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Christy. So this is the second time in maybe the past couple of few months where the department has had to come back to us because of a discrepancy in the shipping. And I can't say for certain on the most recent one, but I can say on this one that the error in the guesstimate for shipping would have put this item over the $2,500 cap and would have required it to go out for bid. And I just cannot understand why the department can't get a more accurate, if not an exact, shipping estimate on these items. Because whenever we go on Amazon, as an example, and we order whatever amount of items we order, the shipping charges are right there instantly. But yet, we just can't seem to get an accurate number on shipping charges, and I have no idea why. This particular item in addition to checking some of the pricing, I haven't found anything on here that is of substantial weight, and it doesn't appear as though this thing's gonna, you know, fill up a trailer truck, and we're looking at a shipping charge of $888. That shipping charge is about 40% of the cost of the items that we're purchasing. And I just don't understand why the department is not able to get the accurate shipping costs when you put in the order. I think that that would be something relatively simple. The other issue is there seems to be numbers all over the place on this one. I have a copy of one item, which is a quote provided to the department on April 16th in the amount of $1,582.88. Then we have another one in the amount of, which is April 23rd, by the way, in the amount of $2,222.48. And I have not been able to figure out how this thing increased to that from 1582 to 2228. And then pile on the $888 brings us up to $3,110 because we can't get an accurate cost on shipping before this is put on a truck or before we issue the purchase order. In the purchase order issued by the city on 4/18/24, it says down the bottom that all freight charges must be prepaid. So I further don't understand how we can prepay a shipping charge when we have no idea what it is. We estimated it at $250 and it comes in at $888. And from what I can see, this just seems to be the course of action that is occurring. To have a product that the shipping costs us 40% more than the product and we don't know it ahead of time is concerning. So, Christy, what documentation did this company provide you to justify that $888? Did they give you a weight? Did they tell you that the box was too big or whatever the case may be? Did we challenge that number at all?
No, I didn't challenge the number.
We didn't. So they just send us a bill for $888 when I would assume you did your due diligence, or someone did their due diligence to come up with a number of 250, and we don't challenge something that's three times what we anticipated it to be. We don't challenge it.
Mr. Chairman, if I can just direct to Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I just want to clear up a few things for you. The $1,500 quote that you see, I reached out to this company. They are part of the Sourcewell governmental bidding. So we are allowed to purchase through them. There's already a bid in place, and it's through the source. We've done this multiple times. We've done this with vehicles. We've done it with the Zamboni. So this isn't anything new. It's a cooperative purchasing agreement. So I got the pricing from this company for the items that we needed to make some repairs at the ice rink. And I, on the quote that you see for $1,500, those were the items that I was looking at. Some of them that I needed, and some of them were, let me see how much it is because they're not listed in the catalog. So after I went through, and you'll see that there's items crossed off on page 102. Those are the ones that I wasn't buying. And then you can see that I indicated I needed two sets of gold nets that I needed. One of the line kits. I needed two of the gold creases, spreader towels for the Zamboni, and that HDPE is a piece of Kydex that is the white facing board that you see on the ice rink. So on the side of the ice rink, so you have the yellow stripe, you have the white, and then you have the top. That white piece, it's a half inch thick. It's relatively heavy. The gold nets, when they come, they're bulky. They're in a box. So they're in a bulky box. Now, it may not weigh 50 pounds, but the size of the box is substantial. So when I estimated, figuring, you know, it goes by weight, you know, I do the best I can. It came to us on a pallet in a tractor trailer. So I can see where it would cost $888 because it came from Minnesota. So to that end, I issued a purchase order for the $2,472. The freight came in more than we estimated, and now we have the final bill to pay. So that's basically the long and short of what happened.
So I hear what you're saying. I go back to my question prior to what you just said, is to why that number wasn't challenged. They send us a bill. If somebody sent me a bill that was almost four times what I was quoted, I'd be all over them because it's coming out of my pocket. I'd be all over them about that. So it's interesting to me that there is no challenge. What's more concerning is that that shipping number isn't known before by the product. That is a number that should be very easy for these vendors to provide. They know what the weights of these things are. They ship it every day. This isn't the first time they did the shipping. They know what the cost is to travel. It's 21 hours from where they are to here. I forget the mileage, but the driving time at 65 miles an hour is 21 hours to get here. They know all that. So to come before us and request something after a number was approved by purchasing because it's under 2,500, and then come back to us with 800 or whatever it is that brings it over 3,000 that would have required a bid, just doesn't make sense to me anyways. I don't see any reason why these shipping charges aren't known ahead of time. I think that's quite easy to do. I certainly purchased a lot of product with a lot of shipping, and I sure knew what the shipping cost was going to be. So I don't know, you do whatever you want, but it does not make sense to me that we don't have a grip on these shipping charges. And this just seems to happen more often, and it's happened just recently in the past couple of months.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
If I had to make an educated guess, I would imagine that the shipping fees do fluctuate probably from, you know, week to week or even day to day based on the mechanism of how whatever product is getting to us, where it's coming from, the size, the weight, like all these variables are part of the equation. So that I do the best I can. And yes, I'm here asking for another $638.34 to pay the shipping fees for something that we needed for the ice rink.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Councilman, you exceeded the time. If the members of the committee would like to go to the councilman. I think the point's gotten across. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Councilman Sinapi.
Not a question, just a quick comment. I think I've made it before too. This isn't at least the whole surprise shipping cost is not unfortunately unique to DPW or the city. It happens to the school committee too. It just seems vendors feel that they can do it because municipalities and school districts need their wares, and it's kind of just tough as far as they're concerned. So I'm not agreeing that it's okay. I think it's messed up. I don't agree with the fact that they do that to us, to the school committee, or to anyone else, but I do understand that, and at least in some cases, we don't have much of an option. That's not to take away from any of your points, Councilman Lattiser, because I know you spoke about far more than just that.
Thank you. Are there any further comments, questions from members of the council? Comments, questions from members of the public? Comments, questions from members of the public? Thank you. At this time, may I have a motion for PCR 59-23, resolution relative to bid?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Final item on the docket today is PCR 58-24, resolution relative to issuing requests for proposals for the American Rescue Plan Act community projects. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you mentioned, this is part of the ARPA neighborhood projects. These are the solar flashing lights that tells your speed. We have a number of them up across the city. They've been very popular, and I've been getting a number of requests for them for different parts of the city. So this is one is for Arnold's Neck Road. It's the main entrance in and out of that neighborhood there. That gets a lot of traffic, especially at this time of year. People are enjoying the area down there. And there's also lots of ducks that are crossing the roads there every day. So we want to make sure that people are paying attention to their speed. And then two in Greenwood as well. We get a number of calls, and the one on Chapman's, anytime that there is an accident on Main Ave, Chapman's becomes a cut through. And then one on Natick, there's a little hill that we get a number of calls, and we've had the speed sled out there a number of times throughout the years tracking on that. So I ask for the council for their support for these, and we do have the funds available left to pay for them from the upper funds for Ward 7. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any questions, comments from members of this committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Hearing none, may I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. The time is now 7:52, and the Warwick Finance Committee has completed its business.
Thank you, Chairman Howe. The next committee to meet is the Ordinance Committee, and that can meet at this time.